What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. My name is Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy Moore.
Hello.
So it's getting hot out there right now, Kathy.
Yes, it's like 93 degrees.
In July, and it's getting really toasty. Mm-hmm. So I just can't believe how fast the year's gone. Here we are. It's like it went from spring to summer, and it's been really hot. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about, going back to basics, just the homeowner's policy. And I guess things pop into my mind because we're dealing with things on a weekly, daily basis, and things that just kind of come up. And what we've been doing now, we have a couple of new employees are getting their insurance license, and that involves taking a 40-hour pre-licensing class. And then I've got one in North Carolina that's taking the class and one in Georgia. And there are some differences between the two states, but particularly in the way the licensing is different, because North Carolina lets you have a license for different, I guess there's like property
lines. So how North Carolina works is they will do a separate license for property, which is personal lines typically, and then casualty is commercial. They do two different classes, sections of classes, but then they have two completely separate actual state licensing exams for those. North Carolina is that way. And then Georgia, of course, is a 40-hour pre-licensing, but it's all combined to personal and commercial. It's a PNC license, but everything's combined for the actual state exam.
And you can get it's called a sub-agent license in Georgia, too.
You can't do that in North Carolina.
So. Yeah, so you can actually not have to take a test, but still work in insurance and be licensed.
You have to do a 20-hour course then, yeah. And you have to be under somebody else's license. So
everybody that works for us is licensed.
Yes.
I think I've got one that's a receptionist that's not licensed.
Right.
But everybody has an insurance license, mm-hmm. and that doesn't make you an insurance expert by any means, by any way. I mean, it's just like that's where you start your insurance career, is getting the license, and then you build upon. And the reality is, when you take your insurance licensing class, the actual information you learn is not really applicable totally in the world. It's some difference between what actually happens in insurance policy versus what you learn in a licensing class.
Right.
So, be as it may, we're talking about homeowners insurance today, and I've been asked questions this week from one of our employees that's getting her license. And, you know, the homeowners policy is important because for most people, their largest asset is their home. Now, not all people, obviously. Maybe you own a business, or maybe you've got to get investments or whatnot. But for all intents and purposes, and I don't have a stat here to look at to tell you, but your asset that most people have is going to be your home. And obviously that asset is appreciated over time. If you've owned real estate for any length of time, over a series of years, normally that has gone up. However, in 2008, you'd see a big dip. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe we're dipping maybe a little bit now. I'm not a real estate person, but I'm understanding things are maybe not moving that great right now. So it just has to do with, you know, the economy it expands and contracts with supply and demand. So if, you know, if the demand is not there for houses now, then the supply is going to increase and the prices are going to go down. So that's just, you know, economics 101. Mm-hmm. That's the way capitalism works. So the very first thing, when you look at your home, once we get past the ownership and the occupancy of the house, we're going to look and see, okay, who owns the house? And then next is, what is the house being used for? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to select the type of policy based on what the house is being used for. When I say who owns the house, well, it may be owned in an LLC. It may be owned in a trust, or most people own their house individually. Like Kathy and I have a house, and we own that individually. And we live there.
Right.
It's our primary residence. So we're going to have what's called a homeowner's policy. If you are a condominium unit owner, then you have a special policy for owning a condo called an HO6 policy. one policy that I wish people would buy more of that nobody seems to buy is what's called the HO4 policy. And that's when you're actually a tenant where you rent your home.
Rent home or condo or apartment or whatever that might be.
Yeah. So, be as it may, if you're looking at a homeowner's policy, whether it be a tenant policy, a condo unit policy, or, you know, homeowners, like I said, there's going to be Section 1 on the policy, and then there's Section 2. So, Section 1 is going to be damage to actual physical, tangible property, and Section 2 is going to be for liability. And that's what people sometimes don't realize, that, you know, if you cancel your home, you've also canceled your liability. Or if you don't buy a HO4 policy where you rent somewhere, then you have no personal liability coverage either. And that's liability is going to cover, you know, if you get sued for negligence, you know, and that there's like four tenets to negligence that we learned back in insurance school, and lawyers learn that right off the bat. You know, you got to be liable and cause somebody damage. So let's say, for instance, your dog bites somebody. You're responsible for your animal, and your insurance company, if you have liability, is going to defend you in a litigation situation and also pay damages if you're liable, or maybe a court deems you liable, then you're going to pay for damages separate to a third party. So once we get past the ownership, let's get past occupancy, and so right in the homeowner's policy, we have what's called coverage A, Kathy, which is what?
The amount of the actual house.
Yeah, and what does that mean?
How much the house is going to be insured for. And when that's being said, people get the idea when they have a claim that I'm going to check for just, you know, if it's $400,000, I'm going to get $400,000. That is, you know, after it's been replaced, and they do it in increments as you actually replace the actual structure. But that also needs to be, you know, we have to insure it properly. We can't over under insure the structure. So we take all your information, we put it into a replacement cost estimator.
And it spits out a number.
Yeah.
And I've always hated that because it's just a guess. It's just taking a...
Well, it's about a lot of factors, like how many square feet, how many bedrooms, how, you know, what kind of windows, what kind of, you know, do you have a fence? Do you have builder's grade, you know, in your actual kitchen or your actual bathrooms, you know, that could be custom, semi-custom, different things that you might have done, improvements or betterments to your house, needs to let us know, because it could be, you know, viewed differently based off of that. And we want to make sure it's insured properly, and that if something were bad to happen and the house were to, you know, catch on fire, that we could replace it and have it get you back before the actual claim.
And that's called indemnification, what that word is. Yes. So typically, well, not typically, who I trust the most about telling me what a house costs us to build is your local builder. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have a friend that's a home builder. Mm-hmm. And if they're being...
Or an appraiser. That's always good.
Appraiser is good, but I like a builder better.
If you've actually had your house appraised.
I like a builder better.
Recently, they actually can do, you know, market value, but they also can do replacement costs on there as well.
That's what we care about as being insurance. Mm-hmm. We don't care about the market value.
Right.
You could have a house on the lake that's worth $1 million, and that same house could be somewhere else that's not on the lake, and maybe it's worth $500,000 when it comes to market value, because right. The lake properties will be
but
more valuable.
But when you're buying, like a real estate agent is selling you a house, they're including the land. So we have to look to break it down between the land and the structure, too, because yeah. We're actually insuring the structure, not the land. So if you paid $1 million and you're on the lake, and that's with the house, then we have to break it down between the two.
That's well, yes, we just need to know what the cost to rebuild. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to.
Yeah.
We want to put somebody back in the same, you know, build enough money to build the house back. From my understanding, you know, I don't build houses, Kat doesn't build houses, but just to build a basic house these days, you can start figuring about $250 a square foot, mm-hmm. $250 a square foot.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. That's what the cost is nowadays. Mm-hmm. I've also noticed that builders are actually charging a higher builder's fee. It used to be like a cost plus 10%. Mm-hmm. Now I think the minimum could be a cost plus 20%. Maybe right. Some builders charge even more. So the cost of building has gone up a lot. And we as an insurance agency try to keep ahead of that. But also, it's your responsibility, it's your house. You probably should have some idea about what it costs to rebuild your house. and look at your insurance policy and make sure those numbers are close, because right. you don't want to come up short in a claim. And that has happened. And we hate to see somebody be underinsured. But on the other side, we don't want to see somebody overinsured where they're paying premium on something they wouldn't collect on anyway. Right. So it's kind of like we're trying to hit a moving target there. Well, we'll be back after break. My name is Mark Moore, Kathy Moore, and we're talking about homeowners insurance today and just going over some of the highlights today. And you're listening to Peace of Mind on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark, and we want to let you know where our locations are. We have three locations that are located in Georgia and two in North Carolina. We have three locations that are called More Insurance Services, Inc. You can find us in Blairsville at right across from Home Depot and next to the post office, right there in the South State Bank building. We're not actually part of the bank, but we're in a separate wing. So come by and see us there in Blairsville. Then our second location for More Insurance Services, Inc. is located in Hiawassee, Georgia at 150 South Main Street, Suite C. We're in the Town Trace building, the red brick building next to the hospital there in Hiawassee. So come by and see us there. And our last location for More Insurance Services, Inc. is located in Hayesville, North Carolina. It's at 157 Highway 64 West, right there next to United Community Bank on the main drag there in Hayesville. So come by and see us as well there. And then our other location is called Mountain Insurance LLC. It's a division of More Insurance, which More Insurance owns it. And it's located there in Murphy, right past Arby's and So Good's restaurant. So come by and see us there in Murphy. And then our last location is located in Blue Ridge, Georgia, which is located, it's called Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. Again, a division of More Insurance. It's located between United Community Bank and Burger King. So come by and see us in Blue Ridge as well. You also can check us out on our website at www.moreinsurance.com. And you can check us out, all these lovely podcasts or radio shows if you've missed one. You also can request a quote on our website. You can see all of our locations there. And we'd love to help you with your insurance needs. If you give us a call, we'd love to help you.
Okay. So I guess at the first of the year, Kathy and I made a decision that we're going to rebrand our business. And this is, we're having a lot of confusion with the three names. Mm-hmm. And that there were reasons why we wanted to have different names in different communities. But what we found out is that we might send a communication to somebody and it's come out for More Insurance and they think they're insured with Mountain. And they actually are insured with Mountain Insurance, but they're saying, I don't have insurance with you. And so I've got to do a communication that's going to involve sending out postcards to everybody that we're going to be rebranding our Blue Ridge office and our Murphy office to More.
At some point, yeah.
It's going to be January 1, looks like.
Right.
And the reason why is I was told that More was more unique than having the word mountain. There's just so many mountains. And there's a lot of things we do online now. Like if you go online and search for insurance or whatever, it's going to be better having just the More name, even though I kind of like the mountain name a little better.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to have my name on everything. But also, I've been doing this for a long time, and people understand that we've been in North Carolina and, you know, Hiawassee for a long time under More. So
in Blairsville, yeah.
Yeah, because then we have three to change there, too. Right. So, anyway, that's coming. So, anyway, today Kathy and I are talking about homeowners insurance.
We already went over coverage A, which is the amount of the actual insurance. This coverage B is actually the other structures portions of the policy, which, of course, is usually if you take 10% of what's your coverage A amount, which is how much you're insured for, it's a percentage of that, which is 10%.
This one always scares me. So, what Kathy's talking about is, you know, you insure your house. We already talked about before the break, you know, we're trying to find out which policy you need, a homeowner's policy or renter's policy, condo policy,
landlord's policy.
Right. There's different ones you can have. But let's just assume this is where your primary house where you live and it's in your name.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look to make sure that you have enough coverage on your house to rebuild the house. We're talking about a minimum 250 a square foot. That's the minimum nowadays to build a house, what I've been told by builders. So once you establish that value, then you're going to go the policy automatically works off percentages for other things you may have. And I'll tell you why this one scares me in a second. But the next part that derives off your coverage on your house, let's just say that you've got a $500,000 house. So coverage B is called other structures. That will be a detached structure that's not connected to your house. Anything that is bolted down as part of the house is considered house. Anything that can be moved is considered contents. Like a washer and dryer actually would be contents. So coverage B being other structures, if it's derived off 10% off of the home value, at $500,000 in my example, you'd have $50,000 for other structures.
Which could include a fencing, it could include a shed, a barn, different things like that. Some people actually, concerned also a dock. If you have a dock and you're on the lake, those things can be considered other structures. So when we look at those things, we want to also make sure that it falls in the same amount. If it's more than that, because we have people that have other structures on their premises, and it's like a huge big barn, and or the she shed, or a man's cave, whatever you want to call it, and sometimes they have more in that than sometimes their houses. So in these situations, when it's kind of, we can actually take it and make it the right value, but we have to know what it's insured for, what the square footage is, what's there, how you're using it. That's extremely important to us because we want to make sure you have enough coverage for that.
And it goes back to occupancy too. Like if you've got a barn, or maybe you're a contractor and you've got a office / equipment storage, things of that nature, and it's owned by your, maybe it's used for business, then that needs to be addressed too, because just because you have another structure there on your homeowner's policy, it may not qualify for coverage if it's not, if it's used for, your office or business or whatever. So you need to talk to your agent about that. And then I think an office actually is covered. I'm talking about somebody that's got equipment. They've got like a, that's where they store their equipment. Or maybe it's a farm situation for a barn. I mean, you need to have probably a farm owner's policy for
maybe
that situation.
If you have animals, we need to know about how many animals you have, how much acreage you have. I mean, all these different factors are imperative for us to make a, give you an accurate quote, accurate policy. So don't withhold information. A lot of people think that they're going to tell you it's going to cost more money. It's going to cost more money, but it's going to be well worth us knowing, because if something were to happen, then you have peace of mind with
it. You want to be covered properly.
Yeah.
So the coverage B does bar me because, as Kathy referenced, people have some really expensive barn dominium,
right,
but particularly a boat dock. I mean, you've got people on the lake. I know one time we had a house insured on the lake, and the windstorm just took out the boat dock. Mm-hmm. And I think the house was insured for like $300,000, and the boat dock we kind of barely skimped by. Like I think it replaced the boat dock for $30,000, but I think it was like on the bubble where
it was
too close for comfort, put it that way.
Right.
And the new boat dock, it can be very expensive, a boat dock. And so
also another thing to keep in mind too is a lot of people have different equipment or things to keep, for the premises that they keep on the premises to maintain the premises. Those toys or things are extremely important to know as well, like lawnmowers or tractors or, ATVs or go-karts or whatever, golf carts. All those type of things, because, if they're in the shed, and we don't know about certain values on those, could be an issue as well. So keep
not
that mentioning
a liability on it.
Yes, exactly.
It's amazing how many
times. If you take your tractor, for instance, if you have a tractor and you're keeping it on your premises, that's fine. But as soon as you take it off your premises and you go to help a neighbor or somebody else, unless you have an actual policy for that, it's not going to cover you there.
Yeah, so the best way to insure is to have it listed. Some companies let you do that. It's amazing, Kathy, how many times we've insured a house on the lake and people have jet skis. And they've never told us anything about it.
No, or boats, yeah.
And that has to be, I would hate to have to pay for a jet ski, but I mean, you lose a $10,000 jet ski, that would not be great, right? I mean, if it's sunk or whatever, I'd hate to be out $10,000. But compared to what your liability exposure is for that, like if you have an accident and you're getting sued for bodily injury to somebody else,
right,
and you've not had coverage on a jet ski, that could be very costly. Mm-hmm. And this happened to me a lot. Like, I've gone out there and I've seen a pretty affluent customer. They may have a secondary home here and go out there and there's four jet skis out there, or like a boat or whatever. That's got to be insured. Particularly, I'm more worried about liability. However, you don't want to lose a $10,000 jet ski either.
Right.
What's a jet ski cost these days? I have no idea.
No, I haven't bought one in a long time. But I do know if it's not just that with the coverage for that and the liability, but if they have all these other things, they need to make sure they have an umbrella as well, because that go over and above your home and your auto. And a lot of times your homeowner's policy or your auto policy will also exclude things, but the umbrella will include things, so check that out too.
Good advice. So we're wrapping up today's show. I think we're about out of time today, and thanks for listening to Peace of Mind. And we're here with Mark and Kathy Moore on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.